How wonderful to be here, and how wonderful for us to be able to hear from the scriptures. And so let me lead you in a prayer, and then I will read this scripture from Luke 10, 38 to 42. Lord, we are hungry, and we need food. And so in this time, right now, we ask that you would send to us the bread of heaven that we might live. Amen. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So she came to him, Jesus, and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by herself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answers, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." In a restaurant on a Saturday evening in Red Deer, Alberta, a woman, a mother, is standing at the table where her family is sitting. And she is telling her family about what is going to be happening tomorrow, the next day, Sunday. And this is what she says. "Listen, tomorrow is going to be a busy day for us, so I want you to be prepared. We're going to have to get up early because we want to make the 9 o'clock service at church. And after church, since we are in town, we're going to stop in at Costco and get our groceries done. And then after groceries, we're going to meet Grandma for lunch. But we're probably going to have to cut the lunch short because Troy's hockey game begins at 2. And we've got to get there a bit early because it's our turn to sell the raffle tickets. And after the game, it's supper with the kids and the team. And then we go home to do the chores." That was the Sunday schedule for that family. Sounds like a Christian family. The Sunday schedule that, if you can recall, we once used to call the day of rest. Sounds a bit hectic to me. Fast-paced and full of things to do. And when I overheard this conversation, I couldn't help it, I found myself wondering, if that family continues at that pace, day after day, racing from one thing to the next, I found myself wondering what might happen to them long term. I wonder if they might not go insane. One definition of insanity is that it has to do with being out of touch. Yes, out of touch. Just do that. Speaking of insanity.
Sorry. So, message for the elders again. When you put the saw on, make sure it's labored.
I may have been at fault for that. But I'm okay with sorry. Pretty good now. Okay. Back to insanity. One definition of insanity is that it has to do with being out of touch. Yes, out of touch with reality, but also out of touch with those around us, out of touch with ourselves, and even out of touch with God. Another way of thinking about insanity, and I don't necessarily mean that in a technical sense, it's about being away, severely away, and disconnected. Again, disconnected from reality, from ourselves, and from God. And I'm reminded of, the merry-go-rounds that I used to play on when I was a kid. And, you know, the faster you could get that merry-go-round to go, the greater was the force that wanted to fling you out from the center. Someone has observed that modern folk live outside of themselves. Because of all the exterior demands that pull at us, we become detached from ourselves and separated from our center. If all we do is run from one activity to another and focus on the things that are out there that need to get done, we lose connection. And we can find ourselves feeling away, gone, somewhere else. Well, in our scripture this morning, we find ourselves, as it's introduced in the scripture, at Martha's home. And the title of this short piece of scripture could very well be called Home and Away. The passage is set up as a clear contrast between the way of Martha and the way of Mary. And the spiritual issue that the scripture addresses is the spiritual issue of being away, disconnected. The New International Version tells us that Martha was distracted. She's driving with her cell phone in her hand, and she is on her cell phone. The meaning of the Greek word here literally means that Martha is being pulled away. She's being flung out from the center. And the basic issue regarding Martha then is that her busyness, her worry about many things, her interior trouble and upset is actually pulling her away. Martha, for sure, is being pulled away from Jesus. She is also, I would say, being pulled away from her sister Mary as she accuses her and blames her. But she is also, I would suggest to you, being pulled away from herself. She is pulled away in her turmoil. She has lost her peace. She is being pulled away from the core truth of who she is and what it is that she really needs and what it is that really matters. She is being pulled away from the true and real food that can feed her soul. So there you have it. That's Martha. On one hand, we have Martha being pulled away. And interestingly enough, as I have said, this happens in her own home. So that the idea here is that even though she's at home, she's not at home. Martha's failing intimacy with Jesus, with Mary, and herself is contrasted with Mary and what Mary does. And what Mary does, well, it's not a whole lot of anything. Mary withdraws. She moves away from activity, you know, maybe sets her apron aside and her bread knife, and she stops and she sits at the feet of Jesus and she listens. She sets aside worry and fear. She sets aside distraction. She stops her talking and she quiets herself and she becomes silent, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And there, sitting at the feet of Jesus, Mary is fully present to the presence of Jesus. Her cell phone is set aside and turned off so that she is fully present to Jesus' teaching, fully present to his words. You can say that Mary is all there, and she is right there. It will be helpful for us to see exactly where Jesus, or where Mary is sitting. I mean, what does it mean that she's sitting there at Jesus' feet? To do that, I want to recall with you a few things that Jesus has said and done in this gospel. One of the first places where we find Jesus in the Gospel of Luke is in the temple. Jesus goes there with his family, and he stays behind when they leave to head for home. On their way home, somewhere along the way, Jesus' parents realize that he's missing. And they have to return to Jerusalem to find him. Finally, they find him in the temple and they say to Jesus, "We have been anxiously searching for you. What's going on?" And Jesus replies, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Later in his adult ministry, Jesus will remind us in Luke 19 that the temple is a house of prayer. The temple is the place of God's presence, and you go to the temple to be fully present to the presence of God. And in the most startling way, Jesus will also say that he himself is the temple. He himself is where you go to find and experience and connect with and get close to and know in yourself the presence of God. And then a third thing, remind us of the Old Testament wilderness. They are meant to remind us of the Old Testament wilderness and how the Israelites were fed there with the food, the bread of heaven. And so, three things to keep in mind as we think about Mary sitting with Jesus. Jesus calls the temple his home. He calls himself the temple, and he goes to the wilderness to receive the bread of heaven. In the interpretive tradition of this passage, one of the ways of translating Jesus' response to Martha is that he says something like, "Martha, few plates of food are needed. Indeed, only one." In this way, Jesus reveals himself here to be the very food of heaven in the temple of God. And that is where Mary is sitting. Mary is sitting in the presence of God in the temple. She is there in the Holy of Holies, in this most sacred place. She has taken her place in the temple, in that place of prayer. She is sitting right there at the center. And she is feeding on the bread of heaven. Here, we might want to remember King David and the words of Psalm 27. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And the words of Psalm 46. Mary is doing something that has been spoken of long, long ago. Still and know that I am God. In both of these psalms, the world, the context, is in turmoil. In Psalm 27, King David is under threat. He is terrified for his life, and he is afraid. And in Psalm 46, we read these familiar words, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth gives way, and even though the mountains fall into the sea, and the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake. It's a picture of a world that is in uproar, a world that is upset and shaking, a world of trouble and terror, a world full of needs, disasters coming at us like a string of falling dominoes, one after another. And it's like in the middle of all this, the psalmist, in the middle of all this trouble and terror and chaos, the psalmist reminds us of that one thing that we need. In the busy, crazy, broken world in which we live, with all of its demands, we need a center. We need an anchor. We need a home. We need something to hang on to. We need to know if there is still some kind of goodness out there that is holding things together. We need to know if God is still in his temple, and that we can anchor our lives and feed our souls and find some peace and rest despite it all. Tucked away in the back of your Psalter hymnal, we have what is called the Contemporary Testimony. And there's a section in the Contemporary Testimony that talks about the church. And this is what it says. The church is the fellowship of those who confess Jesus as Lord. She is the bride of Christ, his chosen partner, loved by Jesus and loving him, delighting in his presence, seeking him in prayer, and silent, silent before the mystery of his love. It's a perfect description of what Mary is doing. And it is central. It is imperative. It is non-negotiable. It is the one thing needed. For without it, we go insane. And we find chaos inside, disconnected from the center of all things. In his little book, God of Weakness, the late pastor John Timmer writes that if we are to know God better, we must learn to disengage ourselves from time to time. We must learn to disengage ourselves from the world and the whirl of activities and anxieties that pull us away. You know, pull us away from ourselves, from others, and from God. We must learn to discern who we are and why we are. We must learn to slow down our pace, to stop and sit still at the feet of Jesus, so that we might more deeply come to know God, the source of our lives and the source of all goodness. I've been facilitating weekend silent retreats in Classis, Alberta North since I was 42, 18 years ago. That's a different sermon. I've been facilitating these weekend silent retreats where people come away or they go away, and we spend a weekend together at a retreat center. The point is to unplug. The point is to get away and do what Mary does, sit at the feet of Jesus. We are silent from Friday evening until Sunday afternoon. And at the beginning of that retreat, we ask the participants one simple question. We ask them a question that Jesus himself asks. We ask them, as you come on this retreat, what do you want? What are you looking for? And in most cases, having seen hundreds of people attend the retreat, in most cases, 90% of the time, people answer by saying, I just want to reconnect with God. In the busyness of my life, I have lost something. I've lost that deep connection. It feels like I'm always running around in my mind and running around in my life, chasing this and going after that, and I have become disconnected. I've grown tired and weary. And in some cases, they will say things have become chaotic inside of me. And in other cases, they will say I have become numb inside of me. It's like something has died. I need to get reconnected. They may not realize it at first, but what they are saying is that they really need God's presence, and that they need to be fully present to God's presence. Because God's presence is the food of heaven. And it's the only food. And there is no other food. There's only one food that can feed your soul. There's only one food that can feed your soul. And that is the presence of God. And that's what Jesus means when he says, that's the one thing that's needed. And that's why Jesus doesn't turn Mary away. She's feeding her soul. She's feeding her soul. Let me lead you in a prayer. Lord, there is so much that can be going on in our lives, and so much that can be going on in our minds and in our hearts. And you know how disconnected and frazzled we can become. So let us hear this morning your invitation to feed on the bread and food of heaven. May we find times to withdraw and go away and be silent and sit at the feet of Jesus, undistracted, fully present to his presence. Lord, this morning we pray that you would speak to that part of our souls that feel hungry.